But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that you would speak to us today and that each of us would receive what you have to say to us. Please bless us as we listen and bless all the fathers on this special day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. And welcome, where we're exploring in our series of the fruit of the Spirit. We are exploring the fruit of gentleness. You know, as a father and as a parent, you instinctively know the need to be gentle. I remember nearly 18 years ago, my first child holding my baby for the first time with a mixture of kind of fear and gentleness and the kind of unforgettable feeling of thinking, wow, what an awesome responsibility there is to gently bring up this child throughout the coming years. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Gentleness. We've seen that beauty just shared, actually, with Andy as well, that the beautiful thing when doctors and nurses or those who are caring show gentleness and love, and we see restoration come. It's an amazing thing. Or when a family gently cares, you know, for their elderly or sick relatives. Gentleness is so powerful. Or when those in need, those who are perhaps in debt in our city, discover a gentle welcome like they do at our debt center, Christians Against Poverty. Again, gentleness is beautiful. It's wonderful when it happens. To be gentle means to be kind, to be compassionate. It implies softness or tenderness rather than kind of hardness or harshness, peace instead of violence. This morning I want to begin with a question. Do you think we are a gentle society? Yes, no, not sure. I was thinking about this and thinking, actually on the surface, things look quite gentle, don't they? You know, people smile at their neighbors normally. You know, you see children kind of skipping along to school, the start of the day, workers driving to their jobs. All appears kind of calm and gentle. Yet if you scratch the surface of most people's lives, the reality is very different. You know, you see this on the roads, the journeys I take, especially when I cycle, I so often see aggression and dangerous, reckless driving, as Andy has experienced. And, you know, though there are many good fathers, you know, there is also countless experiences of fathers who are harsh, distant, even violent. According to the Office of National Statistics, there were nearly 1.5 million domestic abuse-related incidents last year. That represents 20% of all crimes reported to the police. And it's one of the most unreported crimes. That shows that there is a staggering problem. A staggering problem in our society with a lack of gentleness. And we know that's not just about men. There are challenges with men and women. You know, when I talk to teachers, and I ask, what's the biggest challenge you're facing? So often the answer is a lack of gentleness on social media and in relationships. I've been shocked by some of the things parents have told me have happened to their kids online, and things aren't better for adults. We've not got time to go into the stats around online pornography or violence on the internet, or the just to talk about the anger that there is online and the inability we seem to have as a society to talk and discuss things with gentleness. And of course, we are all so aware of the lack of gentleness wherever there is war. And goodness me, how Ukrainians are longing for gentleness and how much they are going to need that to see healing come. You know, in this series on the fruit of the Spirit, where we've been looking at love and joy and peace, and today gentleness, there seems to be this pattern emerging that though these are things that we long for, we often aspire to, the reality in our world and our lives is often so different, so far from it. I wonder how you explain that. You know, this sense that we all have that the world should be so much better than it is. We have that sense, don't we? Even though this is the only thing we've ever experienced, there's something in us that says this is not as it should be. Why is it so hard to achieve? Well, this morning I want to talk about why that is so difficult. No matter what government system you have, no matter how you organize society, this kind of utopia that we long for seems impossible to grasp. I want to talk about why many people, even those who honestly, sincerely try to live good lives, often fail to see the transformation they long for. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, the Bible talks about people who have a form of godliness, a kind of outward form of being good, but they don't know the power of God. They don't see the transformation they long for. You know, if you're struggling to change, if you're longing for things to be better in our world, there's a wonderful invitation that we've just heard from Jesus. But there is also a condition that must be followed if we want to see real change. How does gentleness come? How does that grow? Well, firstly, we see Jesus gives this invitation in Matthew 11. Verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Does that sound good? What a wonderful invite. Do you know what it is to feel weary and burdened? That's more than just tired. That means to feel weary is to feel like you just can't keep going. To feel burdens is to feel like the responsibilities that you've been called to shoulder are just too heavy. Do you know what it is to feel like that? There's actually a deeper meaning that Jesus has for these words. There's actually two different audiences in mind. The word weary is directed particularly to the Greek-speaking world, those who've spent 2 centuries at this point trying to work out the meaning of life, and they basically concluded it's too difficult to know. It's kind of unknowable puzzle. Ultimate meaning is elusive. And the word burdened is directed at the Jewish people who've kind of got this sense, well, God is the answer. They kind of love God, and yet the reality of religion and what they've been trying to follow has been just weighing them down. They found it oppressive rather than liberating. And right here, we see that Jesus offers rest for those who are searching and for those who are burned out on religion. You know, that means the end of trying to work things out for yourself. The end of just pretending on the surface everything's okay while inwardly things are a mess and you're in turmoil. Jesus comes, and notice this invitation is for all who feel like that. The only exclusion is those who don't want help. If you need help this morning, Jesus wants to help you. But many people, they aren't convinced that Jesus is the right place to go for help. You know, isn't Jesus actually part of the religious problem? You know, for many people, Christianity is associated with harshness rather than gentleness. We think if we dare come to Jesus with all our rubbish and our mess, then surely we will be judged. But Jesus says these words in John 6:37. He says this: whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Whoever comes, I will never drive away. Isn't that amazing? And you think, are you sure? I mean, is that right? Well, look with me, verse 29 of our passage. Jesus says, look, I am gentle and humble in heart. Jesus says, if you come to me, you will experience gentleness because at my heart, at the core, the very center of my being, that's who I am. He says, come, whoever you are, whatever you've done, you are welcome. And of course, we struggle to believe that, don't we? You know, it's a bit like how children worry, you know, what will their parents do? What will they say if I admit what I've done when I've messed up? You ever felt like that? Maybe you're feeling like that now. You know, as parents, we want our kids to know they can come to us whatever the situation, that there's nothing that would break our relationship. But you know, they struggle to believe that. We struggle to believe that because they grow up in a world where love is conditional. They grow up in a world where friends drop you, where performance is everything. And they underestimate how loved they are by us. And the truth is, we radically underestimate how loved we are by God. You know, we think, if I tell God what I'd done, if people knew, there's no way I'd get a welcome. But Jesus is offering a welcome bigger than we could ever dream. And you might be thinking, well, what about this sin thing? I know Christianity has this kind of thing about judgment. And I mean, what about that? I mean, doesn't God care about sin? Yeah. God cares about sin more than any of us, more than we can imagine. God is the holy, holy, holy God. He cannot countenance sin. He can't coexist with it. He can't just pretend it's okay. And so you think, well, how can he offer me his welcome? Well, this is the whole reason Jesus came. To solve this problem of how God could deal gently with us, but not gently with evil and with sin. You see, on the cross, Jesus comes and it's like, it's like God saying, sin is wrong. Sin is terrible. Sin is the most awful thing. And it results in death and punishment and judgment. It's a terrible thing. The cross is God's no to sin. But at the same time, the cross is God's yes to us. Say, I love you. I have made a way for your sin to be forgiven because I'm taking it on myself. I'm making a way for you to be cleansed from the inside out. I'm making a way for you to experience gentleness where gentleness is no way deserved. And so he prays on the cross, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. You know, Jesus doesn't welcome us reluctantly. He loves to forgive. That's why he tells that story of the prodigal son. You might know it. So the story of the son, he says to his dad, I don't want to know anything about you. Give me my inheritance. I wish you were dead. And he goes off and he squanders it all in wild living. He's great at first. But eventually he hits rock bottom. And at the point of rock bottom, he goes, oh, I'd love to go back to my dad. But there is no way my dad would welcome me. And so he makes these excuses and he decides he's got nowhere else to go. So he goes back expecting to become a slave. And as he approaches, he discovers that his dad has been looking out for him day after day. And his dad sees him. And as soon as he sees him, he runs to him and he welcomes him back and says, let's throw a party. He doesn't even let him give an excuse. He says, you are so welcome. And Jesus says, that is how God wants to welcome you and I. Isn't that wonderful? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You will experience gentleness because I've paid for your sin. But there's a condition. There is a condition. And that is that we walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Look, verse 29 says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And now this is where it gets tricky for people. You see, Jesus uses an image from a farm field where you might think, what's a yoke? This is a yoke. It's the bit in the middle. Yeah? It's a wooden beam that's used to guide cattle as they plow and as they pull carts. It's an instrument of submission. Jesus is saying the condition of this rest is to submit to him, to his word, his ways. And most people, not surprisingly, say, wait a minute. Well, where's the joy and freedom in that? Where's the gentleness in having a yoke put on me? You know, even Christians say, well, we're all up for what Jesus is offering. I'm up for that bit, but let's negotiate the T's and C's. I mean, wouldn't it be much better if Jesus followed me and kind of just blessed me in what I felt was right? And that sounds great, but there's a fundamental flaw with that plan. And it's simply that we're not very good at choosing what's right for us. We make so many mistakes because many things you only see the results years down the line. So when a married person begins a relationship with someone else, very often when the kids are young and everyone's stressed and tired, everything within them says, this feels right. Oh, this feels like it's going to be everything. This is going to offer me all that I desire. And they only discover years later that the cost of adultery and divorce is far higher than anyone ever told them. Jesus invites us to a better path. A path actually that's designed for us to flourish and thrive, even as it's sometimes hard. You see, walking with Jesus is to follow him. You know, when you're growing up as a child, many of us have this deep suspicion that our parents are just out to spoil our fun. Yeah? Parents are so annoying, I am told frequently. Constantly telling us not to do the things we want to do. Yet you know if you're a parent that the reason we make our kids go to bed and have routines and there's rules is because actually we love them. And we know that it's actually within certain boundaries that they will thrive. You know, Mark Twain famously said, when I was 17, I was convinced my father was a fool, I would say. When I was 21, I was astounded by how much the old man had learned in 4 years. I'm hoping for a good 4 years. But so often we have that perspective with God, don't we? I mean, oh God, your word, it's just so out of date. You have no idea what it is to live now in this context. You have no idea what it is to face the struggles I face. And so Jesus knows this, and so he emphasizes verse 30, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That means that following Jesus is actually the thing that's going to fit us best. It's a gentle yoke. Not a harsh yoke. You see, we've been designed with a purpose. We've actually been designed with a purpose to bring good and blessing to this world. And it's only in a living relationship with Jesus where we discover the fullness of that. We learn to hear his voice. We follow his lead. And you might again be thinking, well, why can't I just live a good life? Why do I have to have Jesus as part of that? Why don't I just do my own thing? And that's back to the question we started it with, which is, why is our world so full of the things that we hate and so difficult? Why is it so difficult to get the things we long for? You know, the Bible says it's all because we're actually already under a yoke. We're already being controlled by something. The Bible calls it a yoke of slavery to sin. That it you know that sense where you're like, I wish I did that good thing, but I just don't. I intended to do that, but I just can't. Oh, I didn't. You know, that's this yoke of slavery to sin. That's why the good that we long for doesn't happen. You know, a yoke that means that though we long for a gentle world on our own, we can't create it. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to break that yoke of slavery over our lives and replace it with a yoke of love and gentleness. You know, you have a yoke, whatever you are living and whoever you're living for. As Bob Dylan sang, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you are going to have to serve somebody. There is a spiritual power that needs to be broken in our lives if we're to experience the fullness that God wants for us. And that is why Jesus comes. He comes and on the cross, he breaks the power of death and sin. And he proves that, because 3 days later, what happens? He rises to life and said, there's new life available for you. If you'll come to me, and if you will dare to walk with me and follow me, I want to teach you how to live the life you were always made for. It's a life that's not just about following rules. It's a life where Jesus comes by his Spirit to live within us and to change us and guide us. You know, the more we have of Jesus and his Spirit, the more gentle we will be. The more we walk with him, the more like him we will become. Philippians 4 verse 5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. You know, gentleness is such a powerful thing. You know, as we receive the gentleness of God, his gentle words, his gentle actions over our lives, his forgiveness, we are then empowered to show that same gentleness to others. Gentle with our words. Gentle with our actions. I wonder who you need to show gentleness to today. Jesus invites you and I to come and exchange a yoke of slavery, of powerlessness, to receive his yoke of love and grace. And if you want to this morning, you can receive that even right now. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you want it. So that's the question, do you want it? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your amazing invitation to come to you. But Lord, if we're honest, we know that there's all sorts of things that prevent us doing that. Things we've done, things we've said, things we're ashamed of. But Lord, you say you've come to deal with those things. And so this morning, if you want to come to Jesus, you can. Just echo this prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died for me to deal with my sin and to forgive me. I choose to come to you. I choose to trust in you. I choose to walk with you. Come and meet me. Take my weariness. Take my burdens. Please come into my life by the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just with every head bowed, if you were just praying that prayer, and you'd just like me to pray for you right now, just with every head bowed, I just to pray for you. If you just bring your burdens to God, just asking for that rest to come, just lift your hand just for a moment. I'd love to pray for you. There's no one watching. Thank you. Thank you. Just looking upstairs a moment. Thank you. Thank you. Looking downstairs. Thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, you're the God who sees us. And Lord, right now you want to meet with my brothers and sisters who said they need you now. Come and meet with them now, I pray. Lift their burdens. Lord, would they know how loved they are by you? Would they have the joy of knowing your yoke is easy and your burden is light? Come and meet with us now as we sing, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.